Father, we want to ask that you would come here. Lord, we're going to have a thought, and then we get to partake of the foot washing ceremony, and then the Lord's Supper. Thank you for spending the day with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Every time this happens, you're thinking right now, what happens? Let's see. Any guesses? Can you see it? What is it? Every time I change the oil in my car, it's always in a different location with a different car, a different drain plug, and I have to predict where the oil is going to go. One of the last times I did it on ramps, and so everything was cockeyed, and the drain plug was a little bit higher than normal, so guess what happened? The weight of the oil and gravity work against me. And it shoots over the oil collecting pan, and then I have to move it over there, then I start working on other things, and then guess what? Gravity starts working against me again, because it has more force than the velocity of the spray, and then all of a sudden it trickles down, and then huge oil spill. The goal of an oil change is to collect the oil. That's the only goal I have. Whether I put new oil in, that doesn't matter. Because cleaning the mess is always a pain. So you have to be strategic in making sure that the pan is under the oil. There's some object lessons for a Christian to be under the oil. So let's look in Psalm 133. So if you have a pew Bible, you can turn to Psalm. If you don't know where to get there, just turn the middle of the book. Most likely you'll hit Isaiah or Psalm. And if you're blessed today, you'll be in Psalm. And if you're not blessed, you will be blessed soon by turning there. So Psalm 133. We're going to read all of it. It's only three verses. So Psalm 133. And the main idea is unity of this psalm. That's the main idea of this psalm. It's unity. Okay, so let's read it together. We read it in the beginning of service. We'll read it again. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the church says, amen. Amen. That verse makes sense. It is like, so the Bible paints two illustrations of what unity is supposed to be like. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down the edge of his garments. You know, when I read this anointing service, then I think about the anointing services I do, I need to do a whole lot more oil. Right, Brian? You want to see more oil? Maybe. Good answer. He's a head elder. Amen. And so this is the first illustration. And then the second illustration is, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanding the blessing, life forevermore. And I'm like, I get the first verse. Like, it's awesome to have unity, have harmony. That makes sense. But what's this anointing all about? What's this mountain all about? How does that illustrate unity? And so, the first one is, can you see that word in there? That's right, poor. I'll make it big for you guys. Big. Poor. And then the second word, the second illustration is, you got that? So between pouring and precipitation, these are two illustrations the Bible uses for unity. But how, like, I'm like, how? So the high priest wore something. What did he wear? And in the breastplate, what was in the breastplate? If you look close enough, I didn't illustrate it, but if you look close enough, there was what in this gemstone? It's one of the names of the children of Israel. There was 12 stones. So when the priest was anointed, in a sense, all Israel was anointed. If you looked fondly towards what God has done in Israel at the anointing of Aaron, that was a unification, that was a unifying look, that was a presence of getting closer together. Because you're rallying around what God has put in Israel. A man of God to help you connect to him. Okay, that's the local illustration. That makes sense. Okay, what's this mountain of, what was it called? Mount Hermon? What is that? Well, if you read Joshua or if you read the Pentateuch, you realize that that mountain is the tallest mountain in the northern border of Israel. How is that a symbol of unity? Well, this mountain, from what I understand, I don't live there, but people who write about living there talk about how there's snow on it most of the time of the year or all the time. And the snow would, so the Mediterranean waters would hydrate the air, and as that wind goes up the slope and it cools down, it turns into water. Or snow, or dew, like that word dew in some could be precipitation. It could be light rain or dew. And so what happens, it would gather in the snow, it would rain, it would gather in rivers, and it would, in the northern part of Israel was the greener part. But as the waters met to the Jordan and it follows south, it goes into the drier parts. So if one mountain's blessed with water, it shares that blessing to the drier parts. So that's the local context. So the idea, part of unity is receiving a blessing and then giving a blessing. That's what geography teaches us. This mountain receives a lot of blessings, but it shares it with the drier parts of the region. So on a global scale, if we look past the Aaron of the Old Testament and look towards the ultimate Aaron, if we look past the high place of Israel and look to the highest place in the universe, where do we get to? What do we get to? What is this pointing to? It points to where we see rain and oil. We want to be under the oil. The first time we see this is in the... This is an exact replica from my imagination of the upper room. There was no higher place than the disciples were thinking about. This is maybe the first time that disciples were thinking about this, that Jesus was entering into his inauguration as king. That's the highest place you can think about in this universe. And Jesus was blessed, and his first action of blessing was to rain oil down upon the disciples, and that oil took the form of fire. So this verse, I think, is a small prophecy of Pentecost. Be under the oil when it rains oil upon the church. But when I think about that, I think about 2025. Sometimes in my life, I was not in the channel of where the Lord was pouring down blessings because I chose to be in a different area. If I look in the rearview mirror, if I look in this mirror and I look back in 2025, oh, if only I would have been there. Oh, if only 2024. Oh, if only I would have been part of the More conference a little bit more. Was that 25 or 24? 25? Ha, good. It fits the illustration. 25, More conference. There's a lot of I wishes, I should haves, but the year is gone. I remember living back at Cedar Lake, and one of my elders, he was the type of person, you may know someone like this, who gets really excited about spiritual things, but it's contained in his body and doesn't show outward. Like, he is an intellectual thinker. He is a logical thinker. He loves diving deep in the Bible. He could enter the seminary and do really well. Like, he reads Adventist theological journals for breakfast. Like, that's the kind of elder he is. And I think Ante's like, yes! And but he did something. April 2024, what happened? Big event in America. Big event. April 2024. This is when we had that total solar eclipse. Remember that? And a lot of things were going on in my life, and I was like, I don't want to drive those 2.5 hours. But when my elder came back, like, his joy jumped out of his body and was just moving around. Like, he was bubbly. And this man don't get bubbly. And it was so exciting to see. But then I look back and I'm like, I wish I took the time to experience what he experienced. Because I wanted to see this total solar eclipse. But no worries. In 20 years, he'll come back to America. So just hold your breath. It's coming. Or you could go to like Alaska, which is a couple years. Or in 2 years, you can go to New Zealand in the South Island in Milford Sound. It's a beautiful spot. My sister-in-law lives there. I just have to spend lots of money to get there. And I missed a more economic option. And so, but what I need to do is I need to first, I need to have interest in doing something, finding where the Lord is pouring his blessings out. Like finding out where the next total solar eclipse is, I need to find out where the Lord is pouring himself into this world. And I need to have interest to be under that rain, that Pentecostal rain, so I can receive that blessing, to give that blessing. And then I need to investigate. Have an investigation. First, you have an interest in it. Then you investigate. You investigate where the Lord is moving in your surroundings, so you don't have to go by another year and wish that things were changed. You're proactive in trying to find where the Lord is blessing and where the Lord is moving. And then the next thing is you need an initiative to move, to receive that blessing. And so there's one person that I think about that had an interest. He investigated, and then he took initiative. I want you to guess this. This is going to be for the kids, all right? This is an illustration. You got this? You ready? Who's that? You don't know yet. It's not Goliath, because it's not wearing a G. How do you know it's Naaman? Because he's got leprosy. Now, he was interested in his condition. He wanted to get healthy. So he started to investigate. He started talking to the doctors, talking to the wise people. And then he talked to some servant girl from Israel. So he investigated that. And then he took initiative. It was hard for him. This is the hard part, taking initiative, doing something that you don't really want to do. But he took initiative, and he was able to go into the water and dip down those 7 times and become clean. So he doesn't need to wish. Could you imagine if he didn't do that, dipping down 7 times? He's looking in the rear view. He's like, oh, only if I would have done that. He took the initiative and did the hard thing. Pioneer Memorial Church, if you take the initiative because you investigated where the Lord is blessing, because you have interest in getting closer to the Lord, 2026, you don't need to worry about looking back and saying, oh, if only. This is our year to be interested in where the Lord is blessing, to investigate how we can be involved in what God is doing. And then, maybe the hard part, moving ourselves out of the traditions, out of the ruts that keep us down, so that we can bless the community around us. Now, think about this illustration. PMC gets a lot of blessings. There's a lot of programs. There's a lot of professionalism in ministry. There's a lot of dedicated people here. And there's small churches around us that may have experienced a little bit drier landscape. What does God want you to do to bless the little churches around here? That's how unity happens. What if God is calling you to be part of a little church around here because they need more help? What if God is calling you for that? Answer the call of Psalm 133 to form a global unity so that we can usher in the coming of Jesus Christ. I want to say a little word as we transition. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you truly want to give us unity on a larger scale than we can imagine. We look to Jesus, our high priest. Our names are engraven on his heart. We look to what's happening in the heavenly sanctuary, and we see rain come down. The rain of the Holy Spirit, and we want to position ourselves this year to be under that rain so that we can bless other people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.